Do you remember when men knew who they were and had confidence in themselves and in their God? When men were the spiritual leaders in their homes? Father's Day presents us with an opportunity to look at masculinity. I'm specifically talking about a man who knows he is a man and is proud of that fact, yet at the same time has a tender heart that's sensitive to others and sensitive to the will of God. I'm talking about God's man. I'm talking about fatherhood the way it ought to be, the way God designed it. Where do we find guidance for that kind of fatherhood? Well, of course, we would say the Bible. The Bible is the source and the best source of most of life's questions. And sometimes that truth is revealed in an unusual passage. I believe that that's the case tonight. A passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 has been selected for our study. This passage, Paul speaks about his ministry to those in Thessalonica. And we need to take close consideration of what he says specifically in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12. And as you're finding that passage, let me explain to you where we're going tonight in our study. We're going to be examining this passage carefully because in it, I believe, there is revealed for us a portrait of fatherhood. Specifically, five wonderful traits that fathers need today. The first trait of fathers revealed in this passage would be the ability to express genuine love. Join me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. "But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." Notice what Paul said there in verse 8 specifically. He said, having so fond an affection for you. Other translations render it being affectionately desirous of you. He goes on to say that of them you had become very dear to us. If you examine the language in which Paul wrote, these words are expressing the intensity of love that gives over and over again. Paul is saying, we love you so much that it's hard even at times to find words to express how much we love you, but we really do love you. The ability to express genuine love is an important characteristic trait of fathers because expressing love is difficult sometimes for men. In fact, the Bible tells husbands to love their wives, Ephesians 5:25, Colossians 3 and verse 19, because men do have to learn how to love and how to express that love. Counter to that is Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, which discusses the duties of older women in Christ to younger women. And in that verse, it tells the older women to encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. The Bible almost never tells wives to love their husbands because it seems to come usual. It seems to come naturally to them, to love. Instead, wives are told rather to respect their husbands because that seems to be the more difficult for them. Men, the Bible indicates that we struggle from time to time in expressing love. It's true about the relationship of a husband to his wife, And it's equally true about a father to his children. In a 1997 publication of the cartoon strip For Better or For Worse that you see on the screens, it showed a dad coming into the room where his teenage daughter is sitting on the couch and watching television, munching on some popcorn. So the dad comes in and he sits down next to her and helps himself to the popcorn. As he's sitting there, a thought bubble appears over his head and he's thinking, I remember when Elizabeth was little, we'd snuggle up together and watch TV. She's so big now. She's a pretty young woman. I'd love to put my arms around her, but the father concludes, maybe she'd think it was wrong. Maybe she'd push me away. I don't know what to do. While he's thinking this, his daughter is thinking, I wonder why Daddy never hugs me anymore. Isn't it sad that we have arrived at a time in our culture that there is so much perversion that we as dads, we're just not sure how to express love anymore? We're not sure what's appropriate and what's proper and what's not proper. A great trait of a father is the ability to express genuine love. Our best example of fatherhood, of course, is our Father in heaven. And the best story that relates that to us is the story of the prodigal son. The reason why that is the case is it's so universal in application. It's applicable in so many ways, because we have all experienced what the prodigal son experienced. You see, at some point in time in our lives, we were sure that we knew better and we knew more than our parents did. We thought at one time we had all things figured out. And so the story would go, as you so well know it, the son went away into a far country and he squandered all his estate. When he ran out of money, he ran out of friends and ended up feeding swine or pigs, which was the most humiliating job for a Jewish boy to have. Then he came to his senses and, considering his position, he made plans to return home. Scan through Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. And notice that the son felt that he could go back to his father. He understood that the relationship would not be the same, for he said, I will say to him, I am not worthy to be called your son. He knew the relationship would not be the same again, but more importantly, he knew that the door was open for him to return home. How did he know that? How did he know that the door was open for him to return home? All through that time of raising his son, the father had communicated his love. It's that kind of love that is vital for a father to communicate to his children. The father, in the case of the prodigal son, had no fear in expressing love to his son as he embraced his son. Verse 20. As he had his slaves to prepare for the celebration, verses 22 and 23, and as he began to celebrate with his son who returned home, verse 24. You see, genuine love expressed at home while the son was at home left in his mind that the door was always open. The door was open for him to return home. And the beautiful part of that story is that our Father in heaven always leaves the door open for us to come home again. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, has expressed genuine love. And as dads, we need to teach our children that they can always come home to a father waiting to throw his arms around them, assuring them of abiding love. And the abiding love of our Father in heaven. The second trait of a father revealed in our study of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 comes in verse 8. It's a transparent life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. You see, I want you to notice that there is a connection between the gospel and the lives we live. It is one thing to hear the gospel, it's another thing to live it. Just as for our children, it's one thing for them to hear of the effects of the gospel, but it is another thing for them to see the effects of the gospel on us as fathers. We need to understand what Paul is saying here because it is so vitally important. He's saying that when he and his fellow evangelists lived among those at Thessalonica, they not only told the good news, but they modeled how to live out that good news. They modeled for the brethren at Thessalonica how they were to live among one another. If you're a Christian dad, your kids ought to know you are a Christian because of the way you live. For example, being a Christian will affect every decision that we as fathers make. It affects the values in the home. The values in the home will be different than those of the world, which value things like pleasure and power, prestige and possessions. In a Christian home, we learn that things we can't see, things we can't buy, things we can't hold on to are really the most important things. There's a peace in the home of Christians that the world does not understand, a peace that passes all understanding and comprehension. Philippians 4 and verse 7. As Christian fathers leading our homes, the way in which we handle our time and resources should be affected by how the gospel has changed our life and made us into a different person. In a home influenced by the gospel, there ought to be humor. There ought to be great joy and laughter. You see, living a transparent life is hard. But kids need to see in their fathers not just an authoritative figure, but someone who is real, someone whose heart has been touched and changed, who still makes mistakes, and yet has the courage to admit that he has made those mistakes. Sometime consider for your study the statement or phrase, "I have sinned." It's recorded some 18 times in Scripture. And I want to highlight just a few very quickly. Pharaoh told Moses twice, Exodus chapter 9, verse 27, Exodus chapter 10, verses 16 and 17, "I have sinned." Balaam told the angel of the Lord in that situation in which he was talking with the donkey, Numbers chapter 22, verse 34, "I have sinned." Judas, after betraying Christ, went to the chief priests and elders and said, "I have sinned." Matthew 27 and verse 4. But you see, going back to something we hinted at just a moment ago, it's one thing to acknowledge to our children that we have sinned, but it's another thing to show them the change brought about in our lives because of such an acknowledgement. David told Nathan, 2 Samuel chapter 2 or chapter 12 and verse 13, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has taken away your sin, and you shall not die." You see the change in the life of David. Fathers, we need to have the heart of David, who said to God in 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 8, "I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing. But now, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly." Fathers, if we're honest with our children, we can tell them that we have made mistakes and some very foolish ones. But by the grace of God, those mistakes have been removed from our record. You see, the prodigal son started to return home when he came to his senses. Luke 15, verse 17. And the question I ask is, where do you suppose he got those senses? It was when he was at home, being instructed by his father. For when he came to his senses, he realized he had sinned against heaven and in the sight of his father, verse 18. He felt that he was unworthy to be called his father's son, verse 19. Nevertheless, he did return home, verse 20. Though he felt unworthy, he returned home because the transparent life of his father offered without a word an opportunity to return home. The third trait in the portrait of fatherhood is an unselfish diligence. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. "For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Jeff hinted at it this morning in his lesson, and I believe that it is the case that we have a responsibility to teach a good work ethic to our children. Oftentimes, if kids don't see a father who is a hard worker and who has a good work ethic, they will never learn it. It comes from home. We have to teach it to them. And we teach this unselfish diligence in two ways. First, we teach it by example, by just being unselfish individuals with a great work ethic. And we allow that to be modeled before our children. But the second way in which we teach it is when we give our children the opportunity to do things and to make their own mistakes and to learn from the mistakes they make. Within safe guidance, the prodigal son made mistakes. But those mistakes led him away from his father and eventually led him to a time and place in which Luke 15 verse 16 says no one was giving anything to him. Everything he was gaining, everything he was able to scrap together, he was earning. Fathers today might put it in terms of he was getting a good dose of reality of what the real world is like. But where did that diligent effort come from? He learned it from his father. He learned it from his father because according to Luke 15 and verse 12, the prodigal son's father was very unselfish with his wealth, which he divided between his two sons. He had worked diligently for what he had. Verse 11 simply says that a man had two sons. He's referred throughout the passage several times as father, but notice what it's never said about him. It is never said about him that he had some position or some power by which he amassed his wealth through the work of others. He had great wealth because he earned it. He had so much wealth, in fact, that he was able to divide it between his two sons, verse 12, while at the same time sustaining the livelihood of the son that stayed, verse 31, and still provide for the slaves of verse 22, the servants of verse 26, and for himself. A certain man worked diligently and was unselfish about that which he had. As dads, we have to be wise enough at times to take a step back and to let our children travel the tough path, to make their own mistakes and to learn from those mistakes. We have to recognize that the training we have provided for them has set them up for that occasion. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up the child in the way he should go. Fathers, if we do our job, if we fulfill our responsibility to our children, they'll be prepared, even if they choose unwisely to leave and depart from us. They'll be prepared. But even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. When the world comes crashing in around them and they get that heavy dose of reality, they'll remember the things which we trained them in. Unselfish diligence allowed the prodigal son to come home. Genuine spirituality is the fourth wonderful trait in this portrait of fatherhood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave toward you believers. Having read that, we need to review what Paul has said. Back in verse 9, he said, "For you recall, you remember that we proclaim to you the gospel of God." Fathers, we must proclaim the gospel of God to our children. He now adds, "You are witnesses, and so is God, of how we lived and how we behaved among you." Fathers, our children, when they speak the truth, will tell whether we have taught them the gospel of God and whether we have lived and behaved in such a way as to show them the gospel. Paul describes this behavior which they lived out among those at Thessalonica with words like devout and upright, blameless. In the next verse, verse 11, he's going to say that they were exhorting and encouraging and imploring. In essence, Paul's saying that our behavior was influenced by what we believe about Jesus. Fathers, if your children and your grandchildren took only that which they saw you live out, what would they come away with as their understanding of what you believe about Jesus? God has commissioned dads to be spiritual leaders. We are to be the spiritual leader in the home. And we are, whether we realize it or not, and whether we accept the responsibility or not. We will either lead our family closer to God or further away from Him. We recognize that as Christians, it is our responsibility to lead them closer to Him. But if we don't lead them closer to Him, then we will be leading them closer to evil. Closer to the evil one and his kingdom of unrighteousness. As spiritual leaders, it's our responsibility to show that we are genuine and that our Christianity is not just something for Sunday, but it's something we are all week long. So if we come to church and we carry our Bibles and we look very pious on Sunday, but we never open them throughout the week, our children will know. Our children are the ones who are watching, and they will know who we really are. If we pray here on Sunday when everybody else is praying, but we never pray at home, our children will know that too. And if we don't lead, our children will learn not to lead. So it's absolutely essential that we be genuine and that our children see that we're not only worship God here in this building, but that we praise and honor God every day of our lives. That we not only read God's Word here, but we read it at home and in the workplace. That we pray here and we pray every day of our lives. Genuine spirituality will teach our children what sin is and how to deal with sin. Luke chapter 15, verses 18 and 21. When the prodigal son came to his senses, then he knew, I have sinned. And he knew how to handle it. He knew to return to his father. Furthermore, genuine spirituality will teach our children about grace and about forgiveness. Luke chapter 15, verses 22 to 24. When the son returned home, the way in which he was received by the father taught his son about grace and about forgiveness. For children to see genuine spirituality, they must see the genuineness of our faith. Finally, there is the trait of positive influence in the portrait of fatherhood. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, this time verses 11 and 12. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Fathers, this is simply what a father does. He encourages, he comforts, he urges his children to live lives worthy of God. But notice that all of these things are positive, as they were exhorting and encouraging and imploring their children. But not every dad is a positive influence in the life of his children. Before the prodigal son, when he was feeding pigs, the Bible says he came to his senses and he started thinking, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father. Luke 15, verses 17 and 18. When he came to his senses, the son remembered what it was like at home. He remembered the positive influence that his father had upon him. And it influenced him to return home. It influenced his return home because then he recognized, he knew that he could go home. So he said, I will go home to my father. And I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and he came to his father. Luke 15, verses 18 through 20. The son understood that his choices made him unworthy to be called his father's son. Not worthy. And so he began to rehearse his speech. A of what he would say to his father. And every step of that long road back home, I imagine he practiced it. He practiced what he was going to say and how he was going to say it. He practiced it until he had it down pat. But before he could blurt it out, his father ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Positive influence. The father accepted him, not as a prodigal son, not characterized by wasteful and reckless living, but as his son, verse 24. As his son who had begun to live, who had been found, verse 32. A positive influence in the home brought the son around, where once again the words of Proverbs 22 and verse 6 ring out, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." You know, of those who have had children to grow up and to move off, it seems to me that their story is always the same. That there finally came a day in which their children came around to no longer acknowledge or to think that they knew better than their parents, that they knew more, that they were wiser, that they had all things figured out. But instead, they come around to finally say, "You really knew what you were doing. Now I see what you meant by those quirky little phrases that I can't get out of my head. Now I understand what it meant when you said this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you." But it's because of that positive influence at home which they received. Fathers, tonight I'm asking you, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12 a portrait of you as a father? One who is able to express genuine love, living a transparent life so that God is not hidden and the message of God's love for children is not hindered. One who displays an unselfish diligence, exhibiting genuine spirituality and presenting a positive influence on his children. I ask that because children love to talk, and they love to talk about their father, especially if he was a good father. Children love to reminisce about the good old days, the memories they have of dad, and the things which make him the best dad in the world. What would they say about you? There's one fact I want to share with you in closing. Only Christians can reminisce of a father who is the perfect portrait of fatherhood. Only Christians. Only Christians have a perfect father. His genuine love being expressed in John 3 and verse 16. "For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." The transparency of this perfect Father is seen in the words which John wrote in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, of the life that was manifested, a life that was revealed, a life that was brought to the open, a life that showed itself. For God revealed Himself to mankind. He demonstrated His love for man in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. While we were like that prodigal son, living in a pig pen, working very diligently for the very little which we have. His unselfish diligence is seen in that God sent His Son to die for us so that we could be His sons. And if sons, then an heir through God, Galatians 4 and verse 7. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8 and verse 17. Heirs of eternal blessings, eternal promises. The Father exhibits His desire for genuine spirituality through everything that He gives to man. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. In the exercise of His will, He brought us forth by the word of truth so that we would be the kind of first fruits among His creatures. James 1, verses 17 through 18. Genuine spirituality. The positive influence that our Father in heaven has upon His children is evidenced by His revealing eternal life. John 17, verse 3, that we may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. The Son whom He sent to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and verse 10. To save those who are lost by having their robes washed, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter by the gate into the city. Revelation 22 and verse 14. There is a Father that loves you, who wants you to come to Him, so that your robes can be washed, and you can have the eternal blessings and promises which only our Father in heaven can give. If you're a faithful Christian, it is from the pen of Paul that we implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, Ephesians 4 and verse 1. And in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory, 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12. We sometimes sing of our Father that He owns it all. He owns it all. And He wants to share it with us. He wants to share it with you. He's the perfect portrait of a father. The perfect portrait of fatherhood for us men upon this earth who are blessed with the privilege to be a father. To you fathers, we ask yet again, is this a portrait of you as a father? To those who are in need of coming to Christ tonight, who are in need of coming to God, recognize that regardless of the status of your earthly father and how he has lived his life, you have a perfect father who loves you, who wants to share all things which he possesses with you, and he is calling you to come and receive it. Will you come and receive that great blessing? Will you come and allow your life to be restored as we stand and as we sing?